Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just praise him. Just open your mouths and just praise him for a second. Just lift his name up. Just you can open up and just say, thank you, thank you. I praise you. You could say hallelujah. You could say, Lord, you're worthy. You could say, God, you're so good. God, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be exalted in this place, God. Be exalted in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. It's good to be in God's house. Amen. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. You're going to sit and then stand in a second, but I'd like everybody to be seated. I'd like to just see this once in a while. If you have not been born in the United States, you've been born in another country, would you stand to your feet? Oh my goodness. Wow. That is amazing. Keep standing. All you Americans, look around you just for a moment. Just it's incredible. What a joy. I just want to see, look at the choir. Wow. That is incredible. All you other people, stand to your feet with me, please. I'm with you. I'm with you. What an amazing thing. Every kindred, every tongue, every tribe are going to praise him and lift his name. Wow. I do want to say we're so glad that you're here today. Welcome to those in the annex. Got a full annex. You got Jersey campus watching. But we also have those watching around the country and around the world. We love to welcome all those watching live with us. We welcome all the nations with us. We say hello live with us is Malaysia and Qatar. We welcome Cambodia and Hong Kong, South Korea, Thailand. You saw the Philippines on there. We welcome the Philippines. We say hello, Sri Lanka, Japan, China, and India. We welcome Poland and France, the United Kingdom. We say hello to Wales, the Netherlands, Sweden, Ireland, Belgium, Denmark, Greece, Austria. We welcome Hungary, Portugal, Germany, Kosovo, Romania, Norway, Slovenia. We also welcome Russia. We're praying that God would stop this war in Jesus' name. And we say hello to Australia. We welcome all of our friends in Africa. We say hello to Nigeria, South Africa, Namibia, Kenya, Uganda, Zambia, Eswatini, Rwanda, Liberia, Malawi, Suriname, Brazil, Argentina, Guyana. We say hello to Canada, the Navajo Nation, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Cayman Islands, Grenada, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Honduras. And we say hello to Cuba, Antigua and Barbuda, Costa Rica, Bermuda, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago. We say Cristo vive to Mexico, Haiti, Panama, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic. We also welcome some 47 of the 50 states that are watching. Your other three, get your act together, but we welcome all of those that are watching. Let me just say this. I want you just to keep in mind, starting next Sunday night, we have our 3 days of prayer and fast. That's Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. Sunday, we'll reopen the doors at 5 o'clock and have prayer meeting at 6. And then 6 o'clock, we're going to be praying for every person involved with education, every student from elementary to college. We're going to be praying for professors and teachers, whether you drive a bus or you serve those mashed potatoes. We're going to welcome you, and we're going to pray that God would use you this school year. And we're going to pray that, so that's next Sunday night at 6 p.m. 7 p.m. On Monday and Tuesday, the doors will open at 6. The sanctuary will be a place of prayer. 7 p.m. on Monday, we're going to pray for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's on Monday night. And then on Tuesday night, we're going to begin to pray for healing. If you need healing in your body, we want you to join us on Monday night, on Tuesday night, as we begin to pray. So that's Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. We want to welcome you. Our series is called 1 Billion Starts with One. It is our mission here at Times Square Church. We believe that we have a burden and a vision to see 1 billion souls come to Christ. And that's why it is so important for us when we begin to talk to the nations and see what God is doing all over the world. Someone asked me this week, they said, how are you doing? And I said, I'm in a fight, but it's a good fight. I said, I can't do much with frivolous fights, But if it's a good fight, I'm good. That energizes me. Paul said, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. We fight that fight to declare this, that there is eternal life found in Jesus Christ. It happens often that before we come out, before the curtain opens up, we have a chance to talk with the choir, pray with the choir. We sing with the choir. We sang the old hymn today. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. And we have been praying for that. But one of the things that we'll always encourage the choir with is this, is, and it goes for all of us. You're not allowed to have any moods, any attitudes, or no unforgiveness. We're in a fight here for people to be saved. I met friends before service that so many people, I met some wonderful people from Tuscany that were looking for a gospel church, showed up today, and I said, we're fighting for them. We're fighting for you that is coming here for the very first time. We're fighting that you might be born again today. And so the last thing we need is somebody who's standing up there behind the pulpit, behind an instrument, or behind a microphone that has bitterness in their heart. We want to fight for people to be born again today. We'll fight for joy. I want you to join with me as we pray. Once again, August 26th is our day of fasting and prayer. One day for our general overseer as he's getting ready for heart surgery, and we'll be praying for him. Join with me as we pray. Father, in these next few moments, may the Spirit of God begin to come in a mighty way. I'm praying as we read this verse at the very end that God, people will hear a word behind them that says, this is the way, walk in it. They're gonna hear a voice behind them. They're gonna hear the Holy Spirit speak to them. And God, I'm believing from right here on 51st and Broadway to those watching around the country and around the world, they will hear the Holy Spirit in a living room, on an iPhone, on a computer screen. Father, they're gonna hear the voice of the Lord. Some are watching from an airport or a subway. God, that the Holy Spirit is going to speak in a profound way today. We love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, choir. Powerful, powerful. Her name is iconic, and especially among those that face physical challenges. Helen Keller was blind and she was deaf, and communication would be seemingly almost impossible. And her story and her accomplishments are absolutely astounding. She has left an indelible mark on history for those that are facing physical challenges. Whether you are blind, deaf, or in a wheelchair, it is her life that begins to challenge many of us. It was Ann Sullivan who became Helen's teacher at 5 years old. When Helen was five, Ann Sullivan was brought in to not only care for her, but to try to figure out a way, how do I get a blind and a deaf person, how do you communicate? And so she found a way by spelling things on her hand. She would spill water on her hand while spelling out the words on her hand to try to get her to communicate. And the story is told that Ann Sullivan attempted to explain God to this blind and deaf little girl called Helen Keller. And she started to put the symbols for God on her forehand, on her palm. And much to Ann Sullivan's surprise, Helen spelled back on Ann's palm these words. Thank you for telling me God's name, teacher, for he has touched me many times before. I knew he was there, I just didn't know his name. I knew he was there, I just didn't know his name. How did Helen Keller know that? What was the thing, as Anne is writing this, that instead of it being a discovery, it became a confirmation? Something was already resident inside of her. While we were in staff meeting this week, one of our leaders noticed a new LED sign that was across the street from us that was facing the church. The LED advertisements in front of my office that I had to look at every day was about a Hulu TV series called The Twisted. And the flashing picture on Broadway, look at this, that I look at my office every day, says this: does the truth exist if no one believes it? that's out of my office on Broadway every single day? Does the truth exist if no one believes it? Once again, this isn't a shameless plug, but this is why I believe God is going to begin to allow us to use our real estate to put up LED walls around the church. Because let me just tell you this. I told you what the Vision Fund is. The Vision Fund, it does the 16 channels. It funds our Bible college, everything else. It's a $2 million Vision Fund. I think there's like 600,000 in it that the wall will cost us about $1.5 million. I'm just telling you that. But I want you to understand, I want that up so I can respond to that when they put up stuff. I want to respond. I want to respond as they're asking the question, does truth exist if no one believes it? I want TSC to respond on their LED wall, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Whether you believe it or not, truth still exists. And I believe you can witness through technology. I believe you can witness as we see the 16 language channels go all over the world. The question is, would it make a difference? And the answer I'm giving to you is yes. Why? Because I'm not speaking to a sign or a company. I'm speaking to the spot in the heart of millions of people that walk these streets. It's the spot that's already inside of them that really what we're doing, and this is the message. I want to talk to you about speaking to eternity. Speaking to eternity. The richest man in the world, Solomon, discovered something about himself and really all humanity. From his diary called the Book of Ecclesiastes, it's a revelation of a sacred place in every man's heart, in this city and around the world, whether it's from 51st and Broadway, from London to Lima, from Mexico to Manila, that God's Holy Spirit tells us this. He has put eternity into man's hearts. That's what Solomon says. That's what's both profound and it's sobering, that when you begin to put up a message, even from this place, or speak a message, you're not just speaking to an individual, you're speaking to the eternity part of their heart is what you're doing. C.S. Lewis reminds us these incredible words. He says, there are no ordinary people that you're speaking to. It is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit is what he says. Everybody, what he was saying was this, you are speaking to people who will live forever. Jesus is Alpha and Omega, but newsflash, you're Omega. You had a beginning, but you will have no end. That's the challenge. So when you speak to people, you're speaking to eternity. Whether they're homeless or work at a bank, whether they're in a suit or a swimsuit, you're speaking to eternity. Only eternal language can be understood by the heart that has eternity set in it. There has to be an eternal language to speak. Current event witnessing, preaching is so shallow and ineffective. You need to speak from what is eternal. Speak to the spot in the heart. I remember the first time it hit me when I was in Detroit and saw as it came like a sledgehammer. I was a young man. I just moved to Detroit. I was 19 years old, and we had a house that we would bring in people off the streets that didn't quite need a program but needed discipleship, though they were still struggling. I've had so many things stolen in my life and ministry. I remember one time they broke into my car. They stole all my Christian cassette tapes, my Bible, and some preaching tapes. And I said, well, at least it was a Christian thief. And so I thought to myself, as I was brought these, we had young men in our house that struggled in their life. So coming home one day from church, one of those guys stole my, this is an old name, they stole my JVC. How many know what that, how many of you are, okay, this is the old service, but let me just say this. The JVC stereo, we called it a boom box. And it was good. I got it as a graduation gift. I'll never forget when I asked my parents. It was like asking for a car because it cost $300 and something. And they thought it was outrageous, but they still got it for me. It was my graduation present from graduating high school. I took that boombox, that JVC boombox. I took it to university, and my dorm was in the basement. And I would set that thing. I'd play Christian music. I'd play David Wilkerson sermons so loud on that JVC. Open up the door. People would stop by. It was an evangelistic tool. That's what at least I told myself. It was an evangelistic tool. And Dan stole it and sold it at a pawn shop. I don't know how much he got, but he took it. And as I got home, I remember standing there on the porch knowing that Dan took it. And I was facing the man who took my graduation present and sold it. I was so upset. And I was just going, God, help me to be saved. And I was sitting there as this man, I was waiting for him to come home from the job that we helped him get to the house that we provided. So he was going into the place to get something to eat, to the food we stocked in that refrigerator, to sit in the kitchen with no music because he stole it. And so I'm sitting there, and I knew at this point I was faced with something that I saw the power of it. I spoke eternity. I don't know where it came from except from the Holy Spirit, and I spoke eternity. I remember saying these words to him. I said, Dan, you got something very valuable to me, but you didn't get my treasure. You got something that was valuable, but you didn't get a treasure because I don't keep my treasures in this house. He stood dumbfounded and he was caught but perplexed. And I said, Dan, Jesus says these words, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves, you, break in and steal. I had to throw something in there. I couldn't have all the fruits of the Spirit at that moment. But I said, Jesus said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves, you do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I remember looking at this young man who thought I was gonna call the cops, who thought I was gonna prosecute, who thought I was just gonna begin to respond with anger. But I respond to man, I remember watching a man respond to eternal words, because I wasn't speaking to the crime. I wasn't speaking to what he did, but I was speaking to a spot in his heart. I was speaking to something, because every person he has stolen from has spoken to his mind, has spoken with consequences. But to have somebody speak to him, and once again, it is not what I wanted to say, but I knew it needed to be said, because it was a spot in Dan's heart that needed to be spoken to, and it was a spot that has been set in there by God himself, that he set eternity in that man's heart. A few weeks ago, we had a profound Tuesday night, as Will Bassett from England shared his testimony. Folks, I've been in the ministry now for 42 years, and have never seen anything like it that we had on that Tuesday night. Oh, what do you mean, Pastor Tim? On Tuesday night, 2 weeks ago, a pastor who pastors really right there in the area of what is considered one of the greatest universities in the world, Oxford University, he pastors a church, but he stutters. I don't remember ever in my life listening to a stuttering pastor, listening to someone who had difficulty getting out words. And I remember that message. I'll always remember that weakness is the way. As he talked about his thorn in the flesh, most of us, like me as a preacher, my thorns you can't see. He said, but my thorn, he said, is out for everybody to see. That's why I have to trust God. To hear this man stutter with an anointing was like listening to Moses. And this is what he sent me. And I want you to hear this text. He sent it to me just a few days ago. He said these words. A few days before I preached, God put on my heart that I'd be speaking, listen to these words, to a younger me in the audience. That I'd be speaking to a young man with a speech impediment who feels called to the ministry. So I began praying for that person as I was gonna stand in this pulpit. After the service, I prayed with a number of people, Pastor Tim. Just as I was about to leave, a young man, and we'll call his name Trey, came up to me He had a noticeable stutter as he talked to me and told me God spoke to him through the message. He felt called to the ministry for some time, but had put it off and thought he was not fit for ministry because he stuttered and had a speech impediment. Sarah and I prayed for him, and he said that day, that night, because of that sermon, he's decided to answer the call and step into the role of youth pastor at his father's church. Praise God. Listen to this. Because that night, Will spoke eternity into that boy's heart. He spoke about calling. He spoke about God's calling inside of him. This is so important. Get this out. Truth is the language of eternity because truth is eternal. That's what the heart, that's what that spot understands. It understands truth. Listen to these words. David says, the entirety of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous judgments, what do? Endures forever. The word of God is truth that endures forever because it's been settled. The issue has been settled in heaven, not a court. It's been settled in heaven. Listen to it, Psalm 119, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It never gets, God's word never gets outdated. It never gets to be voted on or vetoed. It's already been settled. His truth shall endure forever. Always, always, listen to me. As you're speaking to people, always bring the word of God, the Bible, to bear on every heart. That is the sure way you can speak to eternity with an eternal language. God's word is eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. I was witnessing to an athlete in one of the pro sports for some time. His upbringing and his mindset was pretty set about God's word, and he wanted no part of it. And the first breakthrough I saw was from a place totally unexpected, when really eternity was that truth was speaking to a spot in his heart. I never invited him to church. I never invited him, but I would always invite him. Let's go out and let's talk one-on-one. I wanted him to have time that I could speak to some spots and that he wouldn't just sit in an audience and listen to a message. And then unexpectedly, without any invitation from me, he showed up at church one night. And folks, it had to be God. When I saw him walk in, when I stood up at the pulpit and saw him there, I'm going, oh, this is the wrong night to show up. Anybody ever invite someone and said, please don't let the church get crazy on this night. They'll never come back. Well, what was worse was that night, what I was planning to preach on was eternal punishment and hell. And I'm going, why God? Why of all nights does he show up in here? And I have to be honest, I thought I missed it. And I thought I was scrambling through the Bible and going, maybe God, you want me to speak on something else. Maybe this is a night of just, here's a thought. But truly, this guy that we've seen some progress, truly not a message on hell for him. I was too embarrassed. After the service was over, I reluctantly agreed to preach the message to the Holy Spirit. I was so embarrassed to ask him after church, as I embraced him, to ask him about the message, to go like, what did you think? I was the last question I was gonna ask him. And I simply asked him after church, hey, do you wanna meet again? And he said, of course. And then he said this, he said, the message on hell made sense to me. And I said, what? He goes, the message on hell made sense because if God exists, there has to be a place to punish sin and evil. He said, it makes sense to me. And I just go, God, I'm out of this. You are way smart. You know what was happening though? Eternity in his heart was being spoken to. Instead of trying to figure out a way of coming up, men come up with crazy doctrines like annihilation, that hell doesn't exist. They come up with certain things because they don't want to offend anybody. And when you do that, you never speak to the eternity that's in their heart, the forever part of their heart, because you're trying not to offend. And what you've missed is it's not offense. It makes sense when people hear the truth of God's word. Eternity understands eternal language. And men want to deflect it.
They want to deflect all those things. They want to stay away from the places that will and simply just speak to current affairs. People have even asked me, they go, isn't the nation of Israel a current event? I said, no, the nation of Israel is not a current event. Eternity is written all over that nation. How could you say that, Pastor Tim? Here it is. You got to deal with this. This is what the Bible says, Psalm 105. He remembers his covenant forever. The promise he made for 1,000 generations. What covenant? The covenant he made with Abraham. He swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you, I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. Israel is not a current event. Israel is an eternal covenant that God has made with those people. Don't ever have anybody make you back down. Speak the truth. When you speak to eternity and about eternity, you're speaking into their hearts. Don't ever back down from what truth is. I was reading even a story about this that reminded me. Her name was Ellie. She was an elderly Jewish woman. And she was speaking in a Tennessee congregation right outside of Nashville about the great price that was paid for her to find Christ. She was imprisoned in a concentration camp with no hope for survival, convinced that her only chance would be hinged on an escape. She meticulously made her plans. And on the night she broke for freedom, everything went well until she had to scale the barbed wire fence in Auschwitz. She was halfway up the fence when she was spotted by the Nazi SS guards. And at gunpoint, he screamed. The guard screamed for her to stop. And she fell to the ground, bleeding and weeping. Her only hope had vanished. But miraculously, listen to this. Miraculously, the guard recognized her as a classmate from the school. During their adolescent years, they'd been best friends, but now they're on the opposite sides. He was German and she was a Jew. And agonizing over her plight, Ellie cried out to her friend, "Oh, Ralph, go ahead and kill me, please. I have no reason to live." And listen to these words. This is the story that Ellie told. The guard replied, "Ellie, you're so wrong. There's everything to live for. So as long as you know who to live for, I'm going to let you go and I'll guard you until you climb the wall and get on the other side. But you have to promise me one thing." Ellie couldn't believe what was happening. And in her disbelief, she says, "What is it, Rolf?" He said, "Promise me when you get on the other side and become free, you will ask one question continuously until someone answers it. Ask, why does Jesus Christ make life worth living? Promise me, Ellie. He's the only reason to live. Promise me. You'll ask until you get the answer." And Ellie shouted, "Yes, I promise, I promise." And she scampered over the barbed wire. She ran for freedom and she heard several gunshots. She glanced over her shoulder and to see if Ralph had changed her mind and now seeking to kill her. Instead, she saw his body dead on the ground. That what she realized, the other guards shot him for treason. That hasty promise she made to gain freedom now took on new meaning. Listen to these words. "The young man gave his life so I can have a chance for freedom. And Aunt Ellie told that Tennessee church, I did exactly as Rolf told me. I kept asking and asking until one day I met someone who answered the question and said, I am a Christian today because Rolf sacrificed his life for me. May our witness for Christ be as valiant as that brave man." Listen to me. A Nazi concentration guard spoke to eternity in the heart of that Jewish little girl. Spoke to eternity, and that little girl got a chance to live. That little girl found Christ because of that. It's speaking truth. It's not addressing all the current events and all the things. Folks, when you end up doing that, when you end up showing up at a church and they want to address every issue and every social issue, I'm telling you, it's a dead end. This is the only thing that begins to speak to hearts from all over the world. That when you're looking at these nations and looking at these states, the only thing that translates through a camera, the only thing that translates across country lines is the eternal word of God, is the only thing that translates. Jesus did the same thing to a young rich boy that Nazi guard did when Ellie spoke to Ellie. Instead of Ellie doing what Ellie did, this young man left Christ, walked away. We know him as the rich young ruler. Mark 10:17 says these words. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher," note those words, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus is gonna speak to eternity at some point. Watch this. And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he said to Jesus, teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth up. But looking at him, Jesus felt the love for him and said, one thing you lack. Go sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But at these words, he was saddened and he went away grieving, for he was one which owned much property. The big statement of this whole thing that kept living in my mind are these words. No one, Jesus's words, no one is good except God. All I thought about was this. Soon as Jesus asked a follow-up question, I just kept thinking of this. It's all fun and games until somebody gets hurt. And Jesus is about to come and bring something, a sore to his soul. It hits a brick wall. He's young. Think about this. He's young. He's rich. He comes to Jesus. He's interested in spiritual things. This is what I thought. Jesus, make this one work. Come on. You don't have to worry about money for the ministry. This guy can bankroll you. No more offerings. Just do it. Folks, seriously, I would have had him on his knees and speaking the ABCs to him. I would have just said, it's time to be born again. It's time to tithe. And it's time to get this thing right. But Jesus messes the whole thing up. Everything he messes up. Instead of Jesus answering the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus asked a question instead of answering and says this, why do you call me good? Only God is good. Why is this so huge? Here it comes. Get this now, church. Since he calls Jesus good, since Jesus is good and God is the only one good, then Jesus is God, and God is now speaking to you. Let me say that again. Since Jesus is good, per this young man, and God is the only one who's good, then Jesus is God, and God is now speaking to you. Now, bear with me now, because to Jesus' second question reveals, is this just talk, or do you really believe this young man? That's what the issue was with the second question. C.S. Lewis continued on and said these words. He said, you never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death. It's easy to say you believe a rope to be strong and sound as long as you're merely just using it to cord a box to tie something for the mail. But suppose you had to hang on by that rope over a precipice. Wouldn't you then first discover how much you really trusted it? Jesus is about to break this from the cord in the box and bring it over the cliff. This is where man's theology and belief falls apart. Are you willing to do what God asked? This young man was willing to do as much as he could until Jesus interfered with his life, until things would become uncomfortable. His question was about to intersect with eternity. When Jesus said one thing, listen to this, church, it was not about a life of abject poverty as some people try to build a doctrine around to say, in order to follow Christ, you can't have anything. You've got to give up everything, at least what some people would use as verse. But this was more. This was about the question, did you just call me God? And if you're speaking with God right now, then what's the problem? It was all going great until the good teacher became God. It was all great when all of a sudden he's good teacher. And then all of a sudden when God speaks, then all of a sudden now we've got problems. The rich young man came with his own agenda and with his own truth. And God was now about to interfere with his lifestyle. Everybody loves Jesus until he has something to say about our life. Everybody wants to be part of a church until God's word speaks to something and begins to come against something that you may be living. And then all of a sudden, we have to find a different church that would agree with their lifestyle. And let me just tell you this, you can find a church all over the city and around the world that agrees with you, but that's dangerous. I don't want people agreeing with me. I want to agree with God. That's what eternity in the heart is. Because as I'm speaking, listen, look at me, because I'm not afraid of any of you. Look at me for a second. I'm 61, my life will be over soon. Maybe not soon, Cindy just looked at me. Maybe not soon, but like, look at me for a second. Even when I said Israel, oh, and all of a sudden, you just bowed up on me. Then I know what your MO is. You already hit the person next to you. That's why we gotta find another church. And you just disregarded Psalm 105 that says that God made an eternal covenant with Israel. You just went ahead and took your opinion and protests you see around the city and thought because they're loud, it must be true. Here's a news flash. Just because it's a protest and on the internet doesn't mean it's quite true all the time. Folks, if there's a place that's true, it comes right here every single time. This is the rope that we hold on to. This is the truth we hold on to. This is it. Some of you are sitting there going like, man, I was going to try to leave. Now I can't leave or something's going to happen. Listen to me. When Jesus said, come follow me, many believe that was a discipleship call. Many see that it was that moment, just as he said to Matthew, Mark, as he said to the disciples, come follow me, Peter, come follow me. See, since Jesus is God, everyone must bow to that. Jesus is speaking to eternity. He's discussing eternity. He's defining God. He's distinguishing what the treasure really is. Jesus even says, and I hate to say this, but I gotta say what he says. Let me just interfere for a little bit. Jesus says, even those that have means, those that may have money and rich, whatever you are, an athlete, whether you're on Wall Street, whether you're in the tech world, whether you're a doctor, Jesus said, it's harder at times to become humble enough to say, God, you're in charge. Because those with means is easy to surround yourself with yes people. I don't need yes people. I need a yes God. And what happens is that all of a sudden when Jesus starts picking at an area, then all of a sudden an offense comes in. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. I'm not saying, listen, he just says it's hard. He didn't say it's impossible. He said it's hard. You got a couple of extra steps that you got to begin to deal with. And the disciples then said, then who can be saved? Listen to this, Matthew 10:26, who can be saved? And I love this. Looking at them, Jesus said, with people, it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. So let me close with this. This is a real closing. I know you're astounded that we're almost done. I'm gonna ask the band to come. Let me close with this story I just heard recently. I was pastor of Second Baptist of Houston, Texas. Dr. Ed Young. Dr. Ed Young was recently in Jerusalem. And he said, I don't know if he witnessed it or just heard it. He said, I was just astounded what I saw as we were going there and working with relief efforts in Gaza during the whole turmoil that was going on. And this is what he said. I want you to stand with me because I want you to really know that I am done. He said some of the IDF soldiers and some of the Israeli soldiers were guarding the food shipments that were coming in, but they were standing at a distance so they can see the lay of the land and just make sure that there was safety. And then Dr. Ed Young said this, he says, out of nowhere, this King Charles Spaniard dog comes running out of the crowd towards them, towards the IDF soldiers. And jumped into the arms of the soldiers. This King Charles Spaniard, out of nowhere. It's like the last thing you would expect in a war zone. This King Charles Spaniard. They didn't even know what to do. And it just jumped in his arms like it belonged to them. It shook the troops. It was so unusual. The soldiers kept the dog and brought it back to Jerusalem. They found out the dog had a chip in it from the vet. And they discovered that their owner, the man and the wife, were killed as hostages, but their dog was still kept in Gaza. And here it comes. This is what he said. When the dog heard Hebrew being spoken, he said, "That's home." He heard a language that he hasn't heard for hundreds of days and goes, "That's where home is." And all of a sudden jumps out of the arms or out of the crowd and goes, "I've got to go where home is." And ends up finding, here's something. And all I kept thinking about was this: I know my sheep and they know me. My sheep, here it is, recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me. Look at me for a second, folks. Because I'm speaking into eternity today. When Jesus was ending the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke to eternity and he divided humanity into two groups, those on a wide road and those on a narrow road. That's what he does. What Jesus was saying was this: listen, because eternity, this is gonna hit a spot in your heart. What he was saying was we were all born on the wide road. You don't have to do anything to stay and live on the wide road. That's the road that leads to hell, that many are on that road. But there's a narrow road that leads to heaven and few are on it. The wide road is a smooth road, but the narrow road could be bumpy and it must be made from a decision. Listen to the words. You can enter God's kingdom only through a narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and a gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. This is where C.S. Lewis finishes all those thoughts and says these words: "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy," he said, "here's the explanation. I was made for another world." Folks, leave that on the screen for a second. Look at this. Let this sit in the eternal part of you. If I find in myself that everything I've tried, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, the money, I'm on Wall Street, I'm in sports, I'm on Broadway, I finally get the job in acting that I've been wanting to, I made it to the top of the United Nations, I'm doing this in the tech industry, my stocks are just killing it on this, I finally got a house in the Hamptons, oh, thank you, Jesus, I'm finally moving to Florida. Listen to it. And once you get there, you realize that it doesn't fill. And here's what he says: when I find myself a desire which no experience can ever satisfy, here's the only explanation. I wasn't made for this world. I was made for eternity. I was made for eternity. I was made for eternity. So can I do this with you standing? I want to speak. Singers, you can come. Choir is already there. Instruments, listen. So may I speak now to eternity in your hearts. Hey, take a step of faith for those that are sitting in the balcony, those that are in our annex, those in this congregation, those that are watching from New Jersey, and those that are watching around the country and around the world. I want you to listen. Whatever the language you may be watching on the Korean channel, you may be watching on the Hindi channel, on the Arabic channel. You may be watching in Mandarin right now. You could be watching in German. Soon you'll be watching in Hebrew. Whatever language you're watching, in Spanish, in French, that you're watching right now, I want to speak to eternity. There is a heaven and a hell. Everyone born is going to hell because there is sin inside of us. But hallelujah, God made a way. He made a way by sending his son 2,000 years ago that we might receive forgiveness and the power of sin to be broken. God sent his son to not only die for us, to die for the penalty as a penalty for our sin, but his son rose again from the dead to break the power of sin. He would send then the Holy Spirit to come and to work inside of us, to do something, a power that is beyond our own, that can break. The Bible, the great hymn says, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood avails for me. That's what he's come to do. I'm speaking to eternity in your heart. And it means this, because what you're doing is you're recognizing this voice. Or let me say it to you this way. Eternity is too long to be wrong. It's too long to be wrong. You've got to get this one right. Don't rush out of here. Don't look for your keys and going, man, I hated when he said this. I didn't like this. I didn't like this. This is a mean church. He spits too much. Listen for just a moment. Eternity is too long to be wrong. It's too long to be wrong. All of us are born on the wide road. We're born on the wide road, every one of us. But we have made decisions to say, Christ, come in and change us from the inside out. Father, we can't do it without you. We need you to come, come and forgive us of our sins. Set us free and work a miracle inside of us. Listen to me close. This is what the Bible says, and this is what I think. I want you to bow your head for just a moment. The Bible says this, Isaiah gives these amazing words. He says, your ears will hear a word behind you. And it will say, this is the way, walk in it. You're hearing that right now. You thought you were just coming to a church that you could just walk right out. Our goal is not to get you out the front door. Our goal is to get you into heaven. That's what the goal is today. And today, some of you have not made the decision to say, I'm getting off this wide road. I want on the narrow road. Whatever Jesus says, he is good, he is God, and he is in charge of my life. Your good works can't get you to heaven. Your religious affiliation, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Jew, I'm a Catholic, all those words, those are great labels, but that won't get you to heaven. Jesus said these words, unless you are born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. You can be born again today. Your life can be changed today. Just as you had a first birth physically, you need a second birth spiritually. Those aren't Times Square Church words. Those are Jesus' words. That no man can see the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. Eternity is speaking to the part of eternity in your heart right now. It's speaking to it. It's arresting that part. God is speaking to you. You hear the word. It's time to get right with God. It's time to get right with God. Whoever you are, whether you're watching online or sitting in this place and say, Pastor Tim, I make a choice today. I make a choice for that road that leads to heaven. I make a choice because God is speaking to eternity inside of me. I make a choice that my emotions want to get out of here as fast as I can. But the eternity in my heart says, don't go anywhere. Eternity is too long to be wrong. And if Jesus said, I must be born again, then I want that. I'm not inviting you to a religion. I'm not inviting you to a church or a denomination. I'm inviting you to trust your heart and your life to Jesus Christ today. If you're in this place and you'd say, Pastor Tim, I want to make that decision today. I want to be on that road. I want to go to heaven today. I want God in my life today. Whoever you might be, annex, main floor, online, you can type in, I want to be on that narrow road. I'm choosing Jesus today. If that's you and you just say, Pastor Tim, I want God in my life today. Would you just raise your hand and say, I need him in my life. Hold your hand up high, as high as you can. I want to make sure I see every hand that's up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Yes, 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 yes. Who else? Yes, all back there. Keep them up high. Yes, 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 yes. Keep them up. Yes, balcony, balcony. Yes, yes. Keep those hands up high. Keep them up. Wave at me so I can see them. Wave at me, those hands. Wave those hands at me. Wave those hands. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Elder Vicky, it's gonna be a challenge for you. I'm even gonna ask you, both annex, balcony, main floor, if you've raised your hand, if you're going like, I need God in my life today. I need him in my life. Here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. I'm gonna ask you to take a step out and to go, I want him in my life. And I'm gonna ask you to walk right up here as we sing and meet me. I'm gonna get down off that stage. I'm gonna walk right down here so I can pray with you personally. I want you to start getting out of your seat. Balcony, you can start making your way down. Meet me right here. Just get down out of your seat. Just walk right up here. I'm gonna meet you right here as we sing this song, and we're gonna believe for God to work a miracle. Come on, get out of your seat. Meet me here as we sing. Come on, Elder Vicky. Here. I said, Eric, how did you? He says, your first time? He says, my second time. He said, I had to come back a second time. Your friend is singing in the choir? Where? Sherry, Sherry. and just said, I had to respond. And I'm looking at tears in his eyes. I'm looking at a young lady who came in from, her and her mom said, let's go to church today from England. And God, and here you are standing here. I'm looking at a group from Buffalo and what God is doing in your life and seeing all that the Holy Spirit is going to do. God is going to change you from the inside out. That's what it is. You know what's been spoken to today? It's that spot called eternity. He has put eternity in every one of our. I used to be offended at times. I used to be afraid, not offended, afraid going like, well, if I preach on hell, if I preach on eternity, if I preach that you'll go to hell if you don't. And everybody tries to bypass that. And what you do is you miss the eternity part. You miss the eternity part. Because truth is the only language that this that part of the heart hears. It has to hear truth. It has to hear truth. I'm so excited to see my new friend from the deaf ministry up here. And so this is that God is going to do something in her life. God loves you. God is going to work a miracle in your lives. I'm so happy to see every single one of you up here. How many, anybody here, first time here? Who is it the first time? First time, first time? Where are you from? From South Bronx, thanks. First time? Brooklyn, I'm sorry. Where are you from? From Washington Heights, that works too. Can we all pray with them together? Come on, let's pray these words out loud. Say, Jesus, you are God. You spoke to my heart. Inside of me, eternity is there. I heard words that told me about forever. And so today, God, I surrender my life. You are good and you are God. You've died for my sins. You resurrected from the dead. Come in and change me from the inside out. Today I give you my life. You may interfere with some things. You may fix some things. But you know best. Take my life today. I surrender it to you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen and amen.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. And be sure to subscribe so you can receive new messages each week. Visit tsc.nyc for all the latest info on how you can stay connected. Also, don't forget that you can follow us on social media on all major platforms at Times Square Church. Thanks for tuning in today. Have a great week.